February the 14th. What is it? I only heard one man saying that. The rest were ladies. Is that what you do? You take her out. Oh, all right. You mean to go out to eat? I thought you were talking about taking her out. It's all about love, huh? Nah, it's about roses, candy. I'm going to have to make a trip to the Olympic kitchen this week. They have those little things over there, raspberry gels. I buy extra because I want some too. Yeah. Love. What's it look like? What's real love look like? Is it getting a set of pajamas through the mail that you've ordered? No. Girl gave a photo, gave her picture to a boy she was dating. She wrote this on the back of it. Dear Johnny, the last 2 weeks have been the best of my whole life. I will love you as long as the stars shine and until the ocean runs dry. Love, Susan. Then she put P.S. If we break up, I want this picture back. We know instinctively what love, real love isn't. But it can be a little slippery to define what real love is. We know when it's not, but it's hard to decide what it really is. That's what I'm going to try this morning to share with you. Looking at a passage of Scripture in which the beloved disciple gives us some insight into what real love looks like. 1 John 3:16-18. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Lord, we tell everybody that we've tasted of your love, and we surely have. Because while we were yet sinners, you died for us. But oh Lord, there's a big gap here sometimes between the love you've shown to us and us being able to grasp that and display that same kind of love to the people around us. Holy Spirit, come and help us. Lord, I really believe from the bottom of our hearts, we want to be a loving people. And we want to love not only those in our house. We want to love not only our relatives that have our blood flowing through their veins. We want to love also our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in the house of God. And Lord, you even said we are to love our enemies. Wow. So Lord, we need your Holy Spirit this morning to really grip our hearts, draw us close to you in such a way that the same love that flowed from you to us will flow from us to everybody around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, love is, real love is sacrificial. What's it mean, sacrificial? Somebody tell me. What is sacrificial?
Giving up on yourself.
All right. Well, I've got an extra suit in the closet, so I don't need it and I don't wear it. I give it. Give the one I like. Who said that? Donnie. Oh. Uh-oh. Huh? I've got 10,000 in the bank. And my neighbor needs 10, huh?
$10.
Huh? Yeah. Well, here's a 10. We just found out what Marcia's going to do. When we talk about sacrifice, we're talking about giving everything till it hurts. Hello? Listen to the word there. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought also to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Somebody stands up in church and say, I'm having trouble. And we pat them on the back and say, well, I'll be praying for you. Amen. And as we're walking away, we say, Lord, help them with whatever the needs are. I don't know exactly what I can do, Lord, but help them anyhow. I prayed for you. I'm done. I've done my part. Hello? Somebody gets sick. And they need somebody to take care of them. Well, I'm busy. I've got plenty to do of my own. I got to take care of myself, huh? If we were sick, would we appreciate somebody taking their time? Giving of themselves, coming in, and sharing with us at the time of need. Some of you think pastoring is all glitz and glamour. I put the bedpans underneath the dying in their dying moments to try and give them comfort and help them when a nurse wasn't available. I've stood by them with the pain in my hand while they regurgitated. And they're dying. Saints from this congregation that are now with glory, in glory. She calls on us at times to do things that are above and beyond the sacrificial. Christ demonstrated real love by giving up His life for us. It wasn't about a $10 bill. It wasn't about spending a night with us. He laid down. That means He died. He laid down His life for us. He didn't just say, "I put in a word for you," or "I'll see what I can do." He left the glory. He left the majesty. He left the super powerful presence of the kingdom of God Himself and became one of us. Took upon Him the form of flesh and then willingly gave His life. Gave His all. He didn't just throw a dollar in the plate. He emptied His bank account. There wasn't anything left. Wasn't anything more that He could give. He gave it all. And John says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up His life for us. He loved us to this degree. Even though we were unworthy, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might be, perhaps, be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love by giving us, for us, by sending Christ to die all for us while we were yet sinners. We were totally unable to help ourselves and save ourselves, yet He loved us. Oh, I know how it is. When I was looking for a girl when I was young, she had to meet certain specifications. She had to be pretty. What I thought pretty. Yeah. She had to be able to cook. Glory, I wasn't spending my life cooking. No. My mama did the cooking. That's the job of the wife. Hello. I know. I know some ladies that I wouldn't eat their cooking. I do. They're not sitting in here. I know one. The husband does all the cooking. Because you can't eat her cooking. Yeah. No. Specifications. They have to do and fit a certain. And isn't that the way we all are? I'll love you if you're lovable. I'll love you if you're lovely. I'll be able to love you if you do this for me. Wasn't that way with Jesus? He loved us when we were ungodly. He showed us real love by giving us His all while we were still sinners. We were not pretty. Amen. Paul said in verse 10 that He showed us His real love while we were still sinners, while we were rebelling, cursing, neglecting, ignoring, denying, and rejecting Him. Yet He still loved us. That's real love. And that certain somebody that you hooked up with gets out of bed in the morning and her hair's laying on the dresser and her teeth's in a cup and her wooden leg is propped up against the chair, when there's more woman on the bench than there is in the bed. You roll over and look at the gumless, toothless individual and say, "I love you, honey." Amen. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. As long as you dress a certain way, as long as you comb your hair a certain way, as long as you treat me the way I want to be treated, then I'll love you. Huh? Is that the way Jesus looked at it? No. Let me tell you what, we were a mess. Covered with the filth and the dross of the carnality of this old world, and yet He loved us. That's real love. And then you notice that John says here, Jesus defined real love, but we are called to demonstrate this same real love to our brothers and our sisters. Amen. Give our all to show real love to those who are unworthy and unable to help themselves, or even those who are our enemies. Bless God, I'm coming to church. I'm going to sit on this side over here because, you know, there's people sitting on the other side. Especially, you know, that one woman over there, she don't dress so pretty. We used to have a lady who came here to church who was homeless years ago. She spent her night sitting on the donut shop until they closed the doors and put her out on the street. We got her an apartment in housing, public housing. Got her disability, took her back and forth to Baltimore till she got disability. Of course, she wanted to come to church, but there was only one problem. She didn't take a bath. But we had a precious young lady in this congregation at that time would go by. And in the winter, when it was zero outside, she rode to church with her window down because she couldn't stand the smell. But we loved that woman here until she passed and went to be with the Lord. We even provided a final resting place for her. You see what John is saying? God wants us to be like Him with love, loving the unlovely. Sometimes we classify certain people, they are unlovable. But not according to Jesus. I'm telling you what, He loved Adolf Hitler. He didn't like what he did. He didn't justify anything that he accomplished. But he died for him. Shed his blood. That if Adolf would have bowed his knee and looked up and said, "Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins," in an instant, Jesus would have wiped the record clean. He loves that much. But you see, John's telling us, if someone has, so ought we to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. I talked about it a while ago. You need 10,000. Here's 10. I'll get you on your way. I'll help you out a little bit. But John went ahead to say, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion. He asked the question, how can God's love be in that person? It's more than about red roses at Valentine. It's about the mornings when she offers you a burnt sacrifice for breakfast. And you get up early to go to work and bring home the living. Is that the best you've got to give me? That real love would say, honey, I'm going to eat your sacrifice and love you in spite of it. Hello? When things get nasty. You know, I like to visit old preachers. I'm not one of them yet. But I love these men have preached the gospel. They spent their lives, and some of them have given everything they had. One of them that I used to go visit, when God called him to preach, he moved out of his house and took what little bit of furniture he can. He and his wife left their home, came to another area and started from scratch trying to preach the gospel and start a church. I was visiting his widow the other day. And out of the blue, she told me, now this is a man of God. I mean, he loved God. He was a wonderful Christian man, a wonderful person. And you know, she is about yay tall. And just as meek and mild and gentle, you would never think anything. I'm sitting there talking to her with Linda, and out of the blue, she said, Pastor Lay, I've got to tell you something. My husband only ever told me one time in our 60-some years, shut up. And I got so mad, I got up out of my chair and went and slammed the bedroom door. This is a preacher and his wife. They're in their 80s. And she said, about the time I was ready to slam the door, you pulled up. Now I had to come back out. But when I come out, before you got in the door, I shook my finger in his face and told him, don't you ever tell me to shut up again. See, anybody here have moments like that? Don't raise your hand. Dr. Ray Hughes used to say, a preacher get in the pulpit and say he and his wife lived together 45 years, never had a fuss. Man lie about that, he'll lie about anything. But even when they're ugly, even when things are not going well, even things upside down and topsy-turvy, like they were between Jesus and us, we love regardless. Shouts I can't control. Amen? John here says, real love is action. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Yes, she's going to get mad at you one of these days. If she hasn't yet, give her time. Maybe even yet today. You know? Melissa, I saw you looking at him. You have to put legs on what you say you are.
That's right, yeah.
You can buy that pretty card that they make and sell for $5 down here in Food Line. And it can say all kinds of things on it. You see, it's more than that. It's about the tough times. It's about the times that are not pretty. That you have to put action to your words. And you have to love regardless. And that's what John says. Real love looks less like a beautiful, well-dressed Hollywood actress shouting their donations aloud and making it looks more like a family member or a neighbor who tends to the needs of a cancer-stricken, bedridden friend in the time of their need. And they don't get on a soapbox and tell everybody about it. Love looks less like big donations made publicly to have a wing of the hospital named for the donor. And it looks more like an anonymous hero laboring by the sweat of her brow in the shadows. Love is accepting others as less than perfect, but still choosing to think the best rather than to assume the worst. Amen?
Amen.
Oh yeah, I told you before, I'm going down the street and I see a couple walking down the street and I'll say to myself, what in the world did he ever see in her? Maybe he saw a meek and a quiet spirit. Maybe he saw an inward beauty that nobody else could see. Amen? He loved regardless. Real love is not some giddy feeling I get when I think about a special person. It's not the all fuzzy, warm feeling. Real love is a decision to place someone's welfare above my own. When I don't feel particularly warm and fuzzy about them, hello. Thirdly, John is saying here, real love is evidence of transformation. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Are all of you just pretty all the time? Or is it just on Sunday morning? All of you come in every Sunday morning and you're smiling and you're upbeat and boy, you're walking on clouds. And I said, wow, I've got one good group of people here. Does any of you, when the alarm goes off in the morning, say, oh, not again? Huh? Do you have your tough times? I know you do. Sure you do. Just like the old preacher and his wife that I told you about. It's not always warm and fuzzy, but when you love that individual, your brother, your sister in the church, those around you, regardless of what they do to you, or regardless of what they say about you, or regardless of how they look, when you love them, you show the transformation from being dead to life in Christ. This is how I know I have experienced God's transforming power. This is how I know I'm saved and how I have peace about eternal matters when I look at my life and I see the evidence of countercultural, sacrificial, active love, even toward those who are unlovely. When I give not a second thought to giving to a brother or sister in need simply because they need it, and not because I'll get credit. I know God's work has been accomplished in my life when I swallow my pride and go to someone to ask, oh, here it comes, forgiveness for a long ago slight or feud. Then I know God is at work in me. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there was a little girl by the name of Amy, 17 years old. She was on her way home from church in Belfast. And she and her two brothers saw this haggard looking old lady, woman, struggling with a package. And so they decided in the pouring down rain to help her. And all the good Presbyterian folks of Belfast that went to their church saw them and they said, "My, what are they doing?" Amy kind of felt bashful, embarrassed, and yet she decided to continue to help this old woman. They got her to her home, and while she was helping this old woman, they went by a fountain, and she saw a manifestation written on that fountain that she couldn't find anymore. It said, "Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work will be made manifest, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, if any man work abide." Amy went home, shut herself in from the muddy street and the people that sneered at this old woman they were trying to help. People from her church. She had an encounter with God that changed her life. She purposed in her heart to follow Christ, who had no home, no earthly possessions beyond the bare minimum. She would be dead to the world and its applause, to all its customs, fashions, and laws. Amy had an eye for beauty, and it was no small sacrifice for her to embrace this journey of true discipleship. Amy began to reach out to what was called the shawlies. That is, girls that worked in the mills, the clothing mills, for a little bit of nothing. Poor and dilapidated, and they couldn't afford any hats, so they took their shawls to put over their heads to cover their heads. And of course they weren't allowed in Amy's church, but Amy went and got them and she brought them to church. Commoners wasn't supposed to be in among us, the rest of them said. She brought so many that they finally had to get another building for them. And that made the church people happy. The shawlies weren't going to be in our sanctuary. The day came for the dedication, and a couple of D.L. Moody's students showed up to help dedicate. Where was Amy? She wasn't on the platform. She wasn't sitting on the front row. She was sitting in the middle of all the shawlies back there. She didn't want to be mentioned. That was her life of sacrifice. "I give up all that I can help my brother, my sister." Later, God called Amy to missions. She ended up in India and spent 53 years in India, setting up orphanages and rescuing children from prostitution in Hindu temples, while serving in India, she gave her all. Her name is Amy Carmichael. She wrote a little book entitled, If. Here's some of the things she said. If I have not compassion on my fellow servant, even as my Lord had pity on me, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If I can easily discuss the shortcomings and the sins of any, if I can speak in a casual way even of a child's misdoings, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If I can enjoy a joke at the expense of another, if I can in any way slight another in conversation or even in thought, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If I can write an unkind letter, speak an unkind word, think of an unkind thought without grief and shame, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If I put my own good name before the other's highest good, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If I myself dominate myself, if my thoughts revolve around myself, if I am so occupied with myself I rarely have a heart at leisure from itself, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If I cannot be honest, happiness cannot in honest happiness take the second place or 20th. If I cannot take the first without making a fuss about my unworthiness, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If I do not give a friend the benefit of the doubt, but put the worst construction instead of the best on what is said or done, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If I take offense easily, if I am content to continue in a cool unfriendliness, though friendship is possible, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If a sudden jar can cause me to speak an impatient, unloving word, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. For a cup brimful of sweet water cannot spill even one drop of bitter water with however suddenly jolted. If I say yes, I forgive, but I cannot forget, as though the God who twice a day washes all the sands on all the shores of the world could not wash such memories from my mind, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If souls can suffer alongside, and hardly I know it, because the spirit of discernment is not in me, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If the praise of man elates me and his blame depresses me, if I cannot rest under misunderstanding without defending myself, if I love to be loved more than to love, to be served more than to serve, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. And last of all, she said, if in the fellowship of service I seek to attach a friend to myself so that others are caused to feel unwanted, if my friendship do not draw others deeper in, but are ungenerous, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. That's Amy Carmichael's take. Can anybody argue with her sacrificial giving? No. She gave up all of her life to serve others. And that is what John is saying Jesus did. He gave up all. I know in looking at my own life, I have not given up all. To show that kind of love to others. But somehow, some way, let us this Valentine's Day, instead of writing P.S., I want this photo back if we break up, I want us to P.S., I will always be there to minister to whoever, whenever, at whatever time. sacrifice my own pleasure, my own comfort, my own things, that I can be of service and show the love of Christ to someone else. If you're on board with that, just stand with me. Now, I just might call you at 2 o'clock in the morning. Sister Gaver, I want a chocolate egg that you made. I'll be in. Get out of bed, get dressed. Huh? No. It's not about flitty little things. It's about really reaching out. Touching others. Helping others in their time of need and trouble. When they're not pretty. When they're down and out. When things are, everything is going wrong in their life. It's about me showing the kind of love that Christ showed to me. Just bow your head. Lord, send somebody into my life that I can really love. They may not be pretty. There might be a lot of things about them that are ugly. But Lord, I want to love somebody just like you loved me. I'm willing to give of myself, my time, my energy, the things that I enjoy and please for myself. I'm willing, Lord, to sacrifice like you sacrificed in my behalf. Signed, Jonathan David Lay. Put your own name on the end of there.
John?
Yes, Bill?
We've all seen people in our life like that.